Start your day with Triple M Breakfast and start your health journey with NIB. Visit nib.com.au.
All right, here we go. Everybody get ready in 3, 2, 1.
Live from the top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Triple M
Breakfast. It's your Thursday edition of Marto and Margot's podcast. We like to get to some stuff up the top here we didn't have time for in the show, and a lot of that is burner phone text. You can text us on 0484101045, but this is actually dissecting a text we got on the burner phone. There's been confusion about it. There's been heated off-air arguments about what Rod from Jim Booba meant. We're talking about silly drink driving.
Yeah, that's
not,
right.
Not an automobile.
I mean, no. don't shoot the messenger. I was just reading the text message that Rod from Jim Boomba sent, which was his dad got arrested drunk driving a horse, and then he got put into jail.
This is you reading it.
This is you here,
Rod from Jim Boomba, who text us.
My dad was arrested in the 60s for riding his horse down the main street of this small country town while drunk. Cops pulled him up for drunk and disorderly. And when they took him to lock up, his dog bolted into the cell and refused to leave. So the cops made him tie his dog outside of the cop shop and said they'd shoot his dog if dad did a runner.
No, shoot his dad. We thought that that was a spelling error and that it was meant to say shoot the dog.
Jesus.
But it was actually they would shoot his dad.
Now, does that mean his dad, the dad of the person texting, or the dad of his dad who's in the story?
Or were they going to shoot the dog?
Or the dog.
You know, like when, you know, someone's after and they go, we're going to kill your family. Was it that sort of situation?
Liam Neeson.
These are the cops.
Have you just done Liam Neeson from Taken?
Well, they threatened to shoot something and we need to clarify what
it was. I think that was Morgan Freeman again.
Has Rod's dad got a set of very particular skills?
Shut up.
Rod. What's going on?
G'day, guys. How are we?
Yeah, we don't know whether we can sort this out, but none of us can sleep.
Are you on a jet ski, Rod? What's that? Why is it so windy where you are? Are you sailing?
It's because I'm in the truck, guys, running down the highway.
Transport's still in the family, because your dad had an issue with horses and now you're driving trucks.
Righto.
Explain yourself.
Explain what happened.
Yeah, can you tell us what
it was about 7 years ago. Yeah. My dad was the young bloke. My mum was pregnant with my eldest brother.
Yeah.
And he'd been down the road, finished work, and they got on the terps.
Yeah.
And as he was riding home, he got pulled up
by
the coppers. Yes, on a horse by the coppers for riding down the main street of our little town in an unsafe and drunken manner.
Yeah.
And drunk. Because he also rode the horse into the pub.
Yeah, of course. That was standard. Well, can you say what town we're in so everyone can picture it?
Yeah, it's Werris Creek in New South Wales. It's near Tamworth.
Werris Creek, yeah, I've heard of it.
And are we in the 1950s? Yeah. Did you say 70 years ago? 50s.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, then so they come along and arrested him.
Yeah.
And they got him in, taken him to the cell. And as they've opened the door up, his Blue Hurler, his working dog, was the first one in the cell.
Why did he have his working dog with him? Was he at the pub too?
They're never apart.
No, never apart. He'd just finished work. They'd been drinking all afternoon.
Hold on. You know the cops pick you up if you're driving. You leave your car on the side of the road. Where was the horse at this stage?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'd say they took it, just tied it up outside the front of the pub, I'm guessing.
Your dad, his horse and the dog all went to the police station.
Yep.
And get locked up, and the dog jumps in with him.
Yep. Anyway, the cop said to the dad, get your dog out. Anyway, the dad said, if you want him out, you get him out. And the dog growled at him because, one...
He's protecting
that's what
his owner.
Like.
Yes.
One owner.
So the copper said, righto, we're going out. You're going to put your dog outside the door of the cop shop. Mm. He said, and if you try and run for it, I'll shoot you bastard.
Shoot you. There you go.
Shoot your dad.
Yes.
Yep.
So you were testing they would shoot your dad, as in your dad, which is the bloke in the story. They were going to shoot you. Okay. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they... what's the name? Well, man had it, and his brothers had a reputation of being pretty wild.
Yes, that sounds like it.
Well, he did.
So
they
threatened to shoot him because they were going to tie the dog up out the front and leave him unattended.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's get back to your dad being a wild bastard. There's not too many quiet retiring types that ride their horse into the pub and get pissed.
No.
Have you ever been?
Is he still around, Rod?
No, unfortunately, he passed away when I was 21.
What a great story, though, to remember him by, Rod.
Do you run into some of his old mates and they tell you wild stories about your old man?
All the time. Yeah. Like, he, him and his brothers went into the next town, into into Corindai. They go to a dance one night with mum.
Is that where we are? Are we near Corindai?
Yes.
Oh, no, I've got a mate there. Right, okay, play on.
Yeah, Werris Creek's in between Corindai and Tamworth.
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay, anyway, they one of Dad's brothers went up the side of one of the shops to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And as he walked back, the coppers pulled up and said, "Oh, so who are you guys?" Anyway, they all said their names. And he went, "Oh, so you're the fighting so-and-sos from Werris Creek."
Oh, that's reputation.
Known.
Yeah.
Jeez. Infamous.
Yeah.
Infamous.
The fighting.
Could you imagine the stories, Rod, that your dad's friends could have told perhaps at his funeral? Was there anything that you learnt about your dad in that moment at his funeral?
No.
Or did they keep it all on the down low?
No, he was pretty honest.
Yeah.
You knew him
all.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, I used to go back up home and I used to drive around the streets at 15 in an 8-ton dump truck with his mate doing the garbages.
We may ring you occasionally, but those days they'd rather a fight than a f**k. Isn't that what they used to say about him?
Yep. Yeah. Well, man, you said to me, you used to go to the dances and ask the girls, "Do you f**k?" And if they said no, they'd slap you up the face. You'd say, "Okay," and he'd go on to the next one. He said, "Eventually, boy, I'd get one that would say yes."
Yeah, it's a numbers game, right?
It's a numbers game. Yeah. If you try enough.
Yeah. And if he didn't get laid at the end of the night, he'd ride off on his horse and end up in jail.
So yep,
he always had his dog to cut.
Hey, good on you, Rod. Thanks for the text,
Rod.
Mate. Keep
thanks
in touch.
That's all right, guys.
That's not a problem. Have a good day. Bastard.
Cheers, mate.
Talk to you soon, mate.
See you, Rod.
There you go. Podcast exclusive content.
Rod.
That's what you get for getting the Marto and Margo podcast.
Where did we...
So it was the same bloke. Right. We're going to shoot you.
And we're taking a bus trip down to Werris Creek to have a bit of a look around.
We simply must.
Yeah, horse.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
104.5, Triple M, Marto and Margo.
Don't worry. We had a day off yesterday. I still read the paper, and what I read was your husband leaking himself, I think, to the Titans, like to the, you know how they're going, Justin Holbrook, their coach down at the Gold Coast Titans, needs some help, maybe needs another mentor on board. Corey's put his hand up. Has he spoken to you about this?
Would I look good in light blue, Marto? What do you reckon? A little bit of a change
he's
from
one
my
of
own?
The great Broncos captains, the second most played games in the history of the Broncos, and he's happy to go down the Gold Coast.
I didn't actually read the article from what I can gather, though.
Have you spoken? Has he spoken?
You know, I just, you know, highlight read. From what I can gather, he was saying he loves the Broncos and he will always be a Bronco. If there was an opportunity at the Broncos, he would be the first person to put his hand up and be there. However,
so he's like talent.
There's no opportunity there and he wants to dip his toe into coaching. And so if there's an opportunity to go to another club, if the Broncos don't want to capitalise his experience and what he has to offer, then maybe he has to go somewhere else to do it.
He's available. Let him talk for himself.
Oh, here he is. Got him on.
Corey Barker.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you going?
What? This is unbelievable.
Well, I mean, as you just sort of touched on, and Margo sort of summed it up quite well, I mean, coaching's an itch that you've got to keep scratching, and it's just within the sort of blood, and I enjoy, sort of making young men better individuals as players and human beings, and if there's an opportunity at the Titans, I'd certainly consider it. That's all I said. I mean, and that's not to say the door's shut at the Broncos, but at this stage, it's not open. So,
where are you right now?
I'm literally in the car park at school, dropping five kids off.
About to
coach the school rugby league team.
That's right,
the under-12 school rugby league team.
Cozza, you're working for Fox Sports. I once had a conversation because a lot of people said, "Oh God, you're brilliant in the brilliant analyst and all the rest of it. You should be coaching. Why aren't you coaching?" Sterlo once said to me, "He said, no way in the world. Don't ever get out of that commentary box until somebody forces you out, because you can coach every team in the whole competition every weekend without going to training on a Tuesday."
Yes, no, that's right. You're spot on.
Enjoy
he's
yourself,
a wise
mate.
Man. He's a wise man, Sterlo. But, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things. I've been able to do it since retiring for a long period of time, and it's just the satisfaction that I get to be able to see young men fulfil their potential. If I'm able to help in that area, well, why not?
Marto, do you want to run your theory by Corey about teams on the Gold Coast?
Oh, because they just don't work. Sport and the Gold Coast, mate. Take whether their basketball team, their soccer team, both of them have now disappeared. It's been the Giants.
The Suns.
The Giants, the Seagulls.
Chargers.
Their rugby league team's all over the shop. The Suns.
Haven't made the finals ever.
They're so transient. The Gold Coast are a transient bunch of people who don't have deep roots, and the football stadium's in the wrong place. There's too much, mate. You'll kill yourself. You'll do yourself in if you go down there coaching.
I take on board what you're saying, and do I agree with everything? No, I don't. But
of course not.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
Why do you think the Titans haven't worked or been so successful down that end?
If I'm being candid and honest from where I sit, my appraisal on the Titans, yeah, they got some youth in some certain positions. But to be honest, I just think there's a real sort of soft underlying belly within the Titans organisation in regards to their playing ability. Now, they might feel as my opinion on that completely wrong, but that's just where I see it. I don't think they've got enough hardened, battled individuals in their side when the times get real tough that they get going. There's no doubt that they got some great talent within their group.
If the Gold Coast encourages cruising in life and on the football field, I reckon.
It's a lifestyle place, you know, like it's all about the beach and it's pretty cash.
That can all be changed with the right people involved.
All right, Cozza, mate, go prove yourself on the field with those under 12s now, mate, and then we'll see where we land with the Titans. Good on you, brother.
That's a bigger challenge, trust me.
Good on you, mate. Corey Parker there, Triple M.
It's as easy as 50-50. Or heads or tails. Triple M breakfasts, this or that.
Margo Parker, you'll be going first today, and you'll be happy to hear that you've narrowed the gap between you and Marto. Overall score now stands at Marto 12, you 10. You proud?
Not bad, not bad.
So you are going to play on
behalf...
I've
been like Nick Kyrgios. I've been tanking it lately, right. Just because a lot of people are going, we're losing interest because you're too far ahead, Marto.
Nobody said that. You're a liar.
Maggie in Goodna wants...
It turns out a sore loser. Hey, Maggie from Goodna.
She wants you to win her the Lang's Gourmet gift basket. Margo, there she is.
Marto and I both very competitive, Maggie, so we will do our best, but me on your behalf, so good luck.
Yeah, I'm sure the people that Marto's played for have been happy to hear that he's been tanking to make the competition.
Yeah, Peter from Kalanga, how do you feel about that?
Hey, Pete.
Hi, how are you, mate? Yeah,
good, mate. I might come to you. Is there some area of specialty that you have?
Bacon, mate. In the bacon world, bacon does it. What number is that?
Like bacon or 13. Bacon? Which bacon?
No, yes.
Baker's dozen.
All right.
Right. Oh, like a baker, not bacon, the pig bacon, and not bacon like the...
Getting baked. Yeah, no, not that.
Is that a thing?
That's when you eat bacon.
Peter, Maggie.
I might come with you.
We'll do our best.
They do have a captain's challenge, phone a friend, whatever you want to call it, left each. First to three will win. Lang's Gourmet gift basket on the line. Margo Parker will go first this morning. Margo, tell me, which movie grossed more at the box office? The Sound of Music.
My heels are Jesus. Alive.
If you say Grease.
The music.
Don't you? Are you doing that just to annoy me?
Producer Snowy runs the questions, but I can answer.
Which one, opening weekend or total grossing?
Total, but I can answer on Snowy's behalf. Yes, he is doing that to annoy
it's
you.
It's got to be Grease. Sound of Music was great. What was her name, the blondie?
Julie something.
Not Judy Garland.
Julie something, right?
I tried to watch it one night. I fell asleep.
Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews, of course.
Yeah, I think Grease is probably right, but I'm going Sound of Music. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Margo picks first. Margo, you're going to go with Grease, are you? Is that right?
Yeah.
Which means Marto gets relegated to Sound of Music. Oh, well. Sound of Music grossed $286
million. Oh, not bad.
Grease. $366 million. Gee, that's a lot of money. That's why she's a national treasure.
Yeah, it is why she's a national treasure in America.
Carried that on her back, that movie.
When we watched it on Tuesday night, my kids were sitting in the bed while we were watching it all together.
Yeah, what did they say?
Wiley goes, that girl has a really good Australian accent, Mum.
Sandy.
Yeah. I said, she's Australian.
Marto watched it the other night. You said you cried. That was nice.
Teed up.
Marto, what costs more at Coles? A 270-gram bag of Twisties or a party pack of cheeses?
Life's pretty strange without a Twisty.
Hold on. I know how big a 270 gram pack is. What's the other one?
Oh, it's 270 grams.
What do you mean by a party pack of Twisties?
You know the one that you eat in here?
Okay.
That's 270 grams of Twisties.
Well, that's $2.
What did you say, party bag or what?
270 gram bag of Twisties or a party pack of Cheezels. What's more?
Yes.
What's a party pack of Cheezels? What do you call that? The cardboard box?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the producers are looking at each other confused, but it just says party pack.
270 grams is the little bag that you eat in here in the studio. You get out of the vending machine.
And I know exactly what that costs.
A party bag of Cheezels is 390 grams.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's more expensive, the party bag.
of Cheezels is more expensive?
I'm going to go Twisties.
You've got to get your question sorted out too, mate.
No, but because I think the party pack of Cheezels is always on special. It's like $3, $2.50. Is it home brand or proper?
No, proper. They couldn't use the name Cheezels without paying the trademark, but the Cheezel is a lighter extruded cheese
and it's
treat.
Round, so is there less in it?
What costs more, Twisties or Cheezels?
Cheezels!
Twisties are $4.70, yeah. Cheezels are $3.50.
Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, Jesus, it's 2-0 here, Margot. If you get this, you will win 3-0. I don't know if we've had a
food
3
and
mil.
Movies, my two favourite things.
Is algamatophilia a medical condition or a fetish?
Sometimes what happens here.
Get a bit of algamatophilia?
Algamatophilia. What was it, a fetish or a what?
Medical condition.
Medical.
I hope I'm saying that right. Algamatophilia.
Can you spell it for me?
Agamatophilia.
Agamatophilia.
How can spelling change things?
Because he said algamat, but it's agamat.
Agamatophilia.
Agamatophilia.
Yeah, agamatophilia.
I'm going to say.
Do you speak Latin? Like,
I'm
going to
say it's a fetish.
Yeah. If I said this wrong, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, of course he'd make it a fetish.
It's a fetish. It's as if you were at the front of Suncorp Stadium and you took a real shining to the King Wally statue. It's a fetish for statues. Margot Parker, it's a fetish.
Statues, well played.
Maggie, in good nut, she's won you the Langs Gourmet gift basket, mate. Oh.
Golf clap.
She's amazing.
Isn't she?
You're amazing, Maggie.
You are.
Maggie, have you ever experienced any algamatophilia? Have you looked at the King Wally statue with a little glint in your eye before?
No.
I actually can't say that I have.
No, you and me both, Maggie.
Langs Gourmet range is proudly made in Queensland using all Australian ingredients.
Love Langs.
Yeah, supporting the Prince Charles Hospital. Love local, love Langs. Look at the little spring she's got in her step now, Marta. It's 11-12.
Nice, happy.
It's 11-12, the overall score. Triple M's this or that.
Marto and Margot. Triple M breakfast.
You know what this is?
Oh, hang on.
Come on.
Let's get together again, mate.
We didn't need that bloke to that last little bit. Hey,
I'm Morgan Freeman.
Hold on, are you still got woo woo woo? Sounds of Echo.
This is a Dagwood dog.
Oh, that's better.
Better?
You used the song in the best way to actually work on some of your gear.
I was researching some Morgan Freeman narrative gear.
So on the back of...
Matt Damon
was spotted at the Echo. Incredible. And so our Sounds of the Echo today is... a celebrity impersonation, but at the Echo.
Like you could be Paul Hogan. Hold on, how does he sound? sounds like an Aussie. That's not a strawberry sundae. That's a strawberry sundae.
This is a strawberry sundae.
Yeah, let's forget Paul Hogan. Let's get someone else.
Paul. Another Paul. Paul from Ipswich, though. Hello, Paul from Ipswich.
Hey, Margaret.
Yeah, mate. Celebrity impersonation at the Echo. What... situation is your celebrity in, and who is your celebrity?
No, he probably wouldn't be the Echo. I didn't even think of that. But I was going to go Steve Urkel.
Okay.
Well, Did I do that?
Can Steve Urkel do something else that's Echo related?
Where would he be at the Echo? Would he be exhibiting cattle?
He'd be in the show back.
He'd be in the show back.
Yeah.
And I'll have that one too, please.
One more time, Paul. Give it to us again.
Not bad. You're in the lead at the moment, Paul, somehow. Adrian from 8 Mile Plains.
He's the only one. Adrian, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Triple M team. How are we today?
Is that Richie at the Echo?
Richie from...
It certainly is. I've been coming to the Echo for the last 22 years, and it really is a marvellous day out.
Oh, favourite part of the Echo? Are you a Sideshow Alley ride type of guy or more showbags?
Oh, I seem to get stuck into the show bags there, Marto. But I really love watching the sheepdogs at night time and the fireworks. It really is a special day.
Stand by. I know we'll be coming back to you. Get some more gear worked up.
Hey, Richie, if I wanted to get two Dagwood dogs and they're $11 each, how would you tell me what two Dagwood dogs are?
You can have two for 22.
Nathan from Tweed Heads, good morning.
That is great.
Nate.
He's going.
Yeah, good mate.
Well, get straight into character,
Celebrity
Nathan.
Spotting at the Echo. Who have you seen there and what are they doing?
Spotted Tom Hanks.
Oh, was he? What was he doing?
Is he back?
He's just loving the area.
Has he got COVID?
I might not know what love is, but I love the Echo.
Forrest Gump, that's great.
Is it a box? Can you get a box of chocolates at the Echo?
Oh, Nathan.
Oh, they're absolutely marvellous.
Hold on, you're going to be rich.
Nathan, life is like a box of chocolates, isn't it, Forrest?
Next time we come back, make sure straight into Forrest Gump. That was pretty good, everyone.
Stay in character. Mm. Brad from Gilston. Who are we speaking to there?
That's very good, Brad.
Bob Ork.
Hey, where are? Which pavilion would Bob go to?
Stockman's Bar.
Oh, you have to hang out at the Stockman's Bar when you dig out on the cure, brother.
Will they serve VB at the Stockman's Bar, Bob?
Yeah, only the best,
Bob. I get a feeling you'd be able to do him as well. But would Rabs Warren? Would he have ever gone to the Ecker?
I can't do a Rabs Warren.
Yes, you can.
Sensational.
Sorry, mate.
Turn it up, Bob. All right, listen.
Can we get Richie and Bob to have a bit of a chat to each other? God, Adrian and Brad, welcome back.
Adrian, you there?
Yes. Yes, I'm here, Marto.
He's the Prime Minister, Bob Hawke. Brad?
How are you, Richard? How you been going, bud?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Prime Minister. Look, I really must say, you did a much better job of chugging tears at the cricket than that Howard fella did bowling cricket in Sri Lanka that time.
Well, that wouldn't be real hard to beat that, Ricky. Let me tell you that, that's for sure.
So good. I love our listeners.
I love you guys.
You guys are the best.
Nathan was great. Paul was great. But Adrian and Brad, it's between these two.
Can we sort them both out?
Hold on, I'm checking out right now.
Jesus, Marto's looking out the window.
To the higher powers above us here,
mere mortals in the studio. Two for 22. 2 seconds. We're just checking with the big boss.
We're on
just going to the third umpire, are we?
Yeah. Well, listen.
We've gone to the third umpire, and both of you are going to the Ecker.
There we go.
Have we got enough?
Marvellous.
Isn't it? What do you say, Bob?
Oh, I reckon there's no bums in that show.
No bums here.
You guys are so clever.
Brad and Adrian, very, very clever. Well done. Thank you very much. You guys are off to the Ecker. How does that sound?
RACQ members get 10% off Ecker tickets. Get yours today, racq.com/Ecker. T's and C's apply. Can we just get Richie Benner to wish Brisbane a happy day? And we'll get the Prime Minister to do that after as well. Richie, sign off, please.
Yes, this is Richie Benno signing off for Triple M Brisbane on this marvellous Thursday morning. Have a great day, everybody.
Excellent. And Prime Minister Bob Hawke, would you like to say goodbye to
Brisbane? Yeah, that's enough for me as well. And Richie, you're taking it away, mate. Let me tell you, that's just fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Incredible.
Thank you very much.
Lovely.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Guys, we were talking on Tuesday about the guy that got, was it, done drink driving on the lawnmower, this bloke.
The gardener Jordan Brown appeared in court today after being pulled over on his ride on earlier this year, winding through the streets of Terranora near Tweed Heads. Police say he returned a blood alcohol reading almost 5 times over the legal limit.
And we all know, don't drink and drive or drink and ride because you're a bloody idiot.
It's against the laws of our land, but really, it's a little ride on lawnmower and you could... But, you know, as long as you stay to the left.
How much damage can you really do?
On the nature strip, doing the council a favour.
Well, technically.
But you might mow down kiddies on their push bikes.
Well, Daniel from Budrum, he got in touch with us after listening to what we were talking about, and he said my uncle, he wanted to let us know that his uncle got done on a motorised esky.
Oh, no.
Coming home from the Bucks party last year.
Coming home from what Bucks
party? From Dan's Bucks party. Oh, Uncle got done on the motorised esky. When it went to court, the judge laughed, gave him a stern warning and told him he was too old for those types of shenanigans and sent him on his way.
Oh, what a wonderful
Hashtag
judge.
Motorised esky responsibly.
Where are we? Have we got, are we outlying areas of Brisbane?
Dan's from Budrum.
Yeah, right.
So maybe Sunshine Coast, motorised esky
riding. I think it's Sunshine Coast a couple of years ago where that woman went through the drop, maybe before. Before COVID,
on the horse
and got picked up too. And there's been one picked up McDonald's on a horse.
Yes. 133353, not your standard average drink driving of a motor vehicle, car or motorbike, but unusual drink driving fines. Was it an esky, a horse, a lawnmower?
Do you remember my drink driving story I told you?
But you were actually in a car.
I was in a car, yes, but I was lying down pretending to be asleep.
He threw the keys into the bush.
I didn't have the keys on me. I said, well, I haven't. He said, I just saw you driving about 2 minutes ago. You didn't did a Huey and you just parked here. I said, no, I didn't.
We don't want stories like that.
Hang on.
We don't want stories like that.
Is Mardo the original just waiting for a mate guy?
Yeah, I'm waiting for
turn up and you're just waiting for a mate.
Didn't Bronco do that last year and Mardo got up him?
Yeah.
Just but you were the original pioneer of the sleeping in the car.
Listen,
and then spent 5 hours the next day trying to find where he'd thrown his keys.
Throwing a bloody key.
Greg, just waiting for a mate, Martin.
Yeah, 1-3-5-3. We don't want proper drink driving stories because it's illegal. And we don't encourage that here at the Breakfast Show because we are responsible. But if you happen to be riding a lawnmower or an Esky or maybe your kid's bike and you got pulled up.
What about a kayak? So I'm going to have to pull you over.
Look, I don't make the rules. Mm. Anything other than a motor vehicle. 1-3-3-5-3. Maybe you were like Dan's uncle. I got done on a motorised Esky.
Non-motorised, but you know the old wooden billy cart.
Surely. I'm going to have to get you to blow into this.
Yeah.
Get off your
billy cart. 1-3-3-5-3. Phones are open.
Yeah, or 0484 10 1045. I forgot, Marto, to address Rod from Jimboomba who text us.
You ready? We're talking about drink driving, but not proper drink driving. Just drinking and doing things.
Yeah.
My dad was arrested in the 60s for riding his horse down the main street of this small country town while drunk. Cops, I don't think he was speeding. Cops pulled him up for drunken disorderly. And when they took him to lock up, his dog bolted into the cell and refused to leave. So the cops made him tie his dog outside of the cop shop and said they'd shoot his dog if dad did a runner.
No, shoot his dad. We thought that was a spelling error and that it was meant to say shoot the dog.
Jesus.
But it was actually they would shoot his dad.
Yeah. If he did the runner.
So it would be like you getting locked up tying Ted outside and then saying, I'm going to shoot Kev if you try and do a runner.
Oh, this is very difficult.
See, the cops have changed, so haven't they?
Rod from Jim Boomer. No, none of that made any sense. Mm. I wish we didn't go down that track.
Gary from Greenbank, good morning.
There you go.
Yeah, good, mate. Nice,
Gary.
Driving of a non-motor vehicle, what happened?
Well, I got done for drink driving a car, so I left it on the side of the road for a month after the court hearing.
Yeah.
And I still went to the pub, and I was riding my horse with my pig, and the cops got me on the way home.
Gary, where was the pig?
He was running beside me.
Why did you take the pig to the pub, though?
Was it on a leash?
He was like my dog. He was my best mate.
The pig was your dog.
But why didn't you walk? Why did you think you needed to take the horse? How far from the pub did you live?
How many
K's?
3K.
Are you old McDonald, Gary? Why so many horses?
E-I-E-I-O.
And pigs.
Yeah, the good thing out of it, one of the coppers rode my horse home because I said, it's not motorised. I got off it. They rode my horse home, put me and the pig in the car and took me home.
Nice, Gary.
Where, mate? What was the pig's name, Gary?
Gary, where were we living 1860s in the middle, in Midwest?
In Windsor, America? Down in New South Wales. Windsor. And it's main road riding on. Everyone knew me. I didn't give a shit.
Incredible. Clearly.
Gary, are you still running a loose operation at Greenbank these days?
Bloody oath, mate.
Good work, son.
Have you still got the pig?
No. My sister killed it.
Oh, did you eat it?
Can we ask?
Yeah.
No, he's my best mate. I couldn't do it.
Did
anyone eat him?
No, I wouldn't let him. I buried him.
Yeah, nice. Man. Nice, Gary. We're
good
sorry.
On you, Gary. We give a shit too, mate. We care about you. I don't think we want to ask why
Gary's sister killed
him. Hang on to Gary's phone number. I think there's a lot more that he's cooking up out there at Greenbank.
Damien from Zilmia, 1-3-3-5-3. Do you have a drink driving a non-motor vehicle story?
Yeah, I got a good one. About 15 years ago, I was drinking with some mates in my front yard and my daughter's pink electric Barbie Jeep was there, so I thought it'd be a good idea to jump on that and go for a cruise down the road. Just as I got onto the road, the cops come around the corner, I thought it was funny, and they breathalyzed me and told me to hurry up and get it back up the driveway before that.
That's great. Photos, Damo!
No, back then, luckily, not much face or anything.
Wish.
I mean, that is a...
Pink Barbie Jeep. There's nothing better than that.
It has to be your profile picture, you getting breathed in a pink Barbie car, the cops there.
How good.
One of the greatest photos of all time.
Reenactment.
Damo, have you ever driven it after, or did you learn your lesson with the Barbie car?
Oh, I don't want to divulge that information.
No, he's been back. Stick to 12 volt.
Mutto and Margo on Triple M Breakfast.
I couldn't go to the Ecker yesterday because I had to prepare for one of the biggest days of the year in my life each year. Yeah, I did say I was going to the Ecker, and I thought I've got to look after the legs. Big afternoon. Every Ecker Wednesday for the last 36 years, actually 133353, have you got a tradition that's been going an awful long time? Like a strange tradition that you've done with mates or family or whatever that's been going forever? Every Wednesday, every Ecker Wednesday, there's a group of us, and it did start with about 15 to 20. We play frisbee golf, and we have a trophy called the Bougainvillea Trophy.
That's
I looked
right.
at the trophy yesterday, and it said 1986. That's 36.
That's
36 years ago. My son's now involved, and one is another young guy. Two young guys now.
That's
playing.
Older. That is actually older than the NRL
rugby league
as we know it now, from Super League and everything.
Oh, yeah, it's 10 years older than that.
Older than the Broncos. Older than the Brisbane Lions.
2 years older than the Broncos.
It's as old as me.
Yeah. When were you born?
85.
Oh, right. We started, 1986, we started playing. We got this piece of timber made out of a bougainvillea that had died. We slabbed it because there's about six carpenters are involved.
Can you please
carpenters,
explain
plumbers, electricians, yeah.
the notion of frisbee golf?
Oh, right. So we're all...
Do you play on a golf course?
Yeah. So we all ended up... Yeah, a lot of people throw a footy or tennis balls on the beach. We all ended up, for some reason, we were really good frisbee throwers. Okay. I know that's sort of American, but somehow we got into it.
At the beach. Yeah.
And then we found out about this. Well, then we started playing Ultimate. You might end up seeing Ultimate. Ultimate's one of the great games.
It is one of the great games.
Ultimate what?
It's like frisbee. Ultimate disc.
Frisbee, touch footy, and netball sort of combined. It's wild.
I don't think I've thrown a frisbee since I was 10.
It's a great game. Marto, for some reason, very big with Christians.
Is it?
Ultimate disc.
It's huge
with Christian camps.
You can get scholarships to America. At one stage, Harry, my son, we were talking about, it's enormous in America.
Frisbee throwing.
Ultimate disc is a sport.
It's enormous in the United States.
It's strange. Strangely big.
That's Ultimate to start with. And then we said, listen, there's also this game called frisbee golf. So we started playing. We've got a little course out at the Bougainvillea Gardens.
And you've got to throw a frisbee at each hole?
Yep. So you line, you've got to hit trees, and then one hole you've got to hit a power box. You've got to go around that tree, and then you've got to come back to that, and we add up the score. We keep the scores as we go along. 18 holes.
Oh my god!
So every throw's a stroke.
Drank two goldies while we walked around.
You do this every Ecker Wednesday.
Every Ecker Wednesday. We used to do it
every
Sunday, but it reduced down to now. There was 10 turned up yesterday.
Jesus.
And my brother won the trophy.
How old are these people?
Some of us are in our late 50s.
So say 20. Harry the youngest.
Harry's the youngest, and there was another young guy there. So we're bringing the next generation.
Generation through.
There's development pathways.
Passing over.
There's development pathways.
Like an apprenticeship.
Who were the Roosters or the Storm of the competition, the most decorated one?
My best mate, Mick, who I did my apprenticeship with, he's won it about 10, 12 times.
My brother won, Jace.
He's won twice now. I've only won twice in my whole career, 36 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tough. All right, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about other people with strange tradition. It doesn't have to be Ecker Wednesdays.
I need to start one, I think.
Yeah, okay.
It keeps you really tight with a certain group of friends.
Group of people.
Because some people just go and have a drink.
Yeah.
Like, we've actually got an activity.
I've got a stupid one with my Uncle Marty, who's an ex-copper here in Brisbane. Yeah. Every Christmas Day, he makes me and my two brothers, just three boys, eat an entire prawn, not shelled. We just take the spine off it. He makes us.
That's your tradition.
And he's quite intimidating as an ex-copper as well.
Hey, He'll stare us down.
We have to eat the whole prawn, Margot. Everything
that's
in there.
Disgusting.
The brain, the eyes, everything.
See, a lot of people think frisbee golf's stupid, but I think that's stupid.
I thought
stupid.
I'd help you
that
out.
Is more stupid.
With something even stupider.
All right, strange traditions that have been going for ages. Have you got one?
Is it family, friend? No.
It could be family or it could be friends.
I've held Australia Day 2 years in a row at our place. Toad races.
You got a bit to go.
Is that?
That's
Snowy,
right.
Go down to Coles and get Margot a whole prawn. You can join in our tradition.
Oh, absolutely not. Nice.
And a frisbee. 1-2-2-5-3 Weird traditions. What do you got?
Andrew from Mount Gravatt rang. Hey, Andrew.
Oh, how you going?
You got one of these strange traditions that's been going for a long time with your mates.
Just clinging on to the youth, Andrew, as well, like Marto.
Absolutely. Look, my brother Brian started a tradition after he left school. He wanted to keep up with his footy skills, so he started a touch football competition in 1978. And over the years, each of the brothers, would join in and come along. So
is it still going?
Still going every Saturday, rain, hail, or shine. We stopped 44 years. Oh, look, it's been amazing the amount of different people we've met, but. One day we had some lightning strikes, so we had to stop briefly, and then we went back out. But it's been just marvellous. Christmas days, we'll, you know, spend with family, then go out and play touch.
That's nice.
Every Saturday since 78, what about COVID? I bet you still did it. We still played Frisbee on that Echo that first year.
Outdoors.
When
we weren't supposed to be outdoors.
No, we weren't supposed to gather. And we just went, bugger that.
Look, we had a list. We had to sign everybody up on the list to see who was where and who'd been where and so forth. So we did a lot of protocols.
You had a COVID register. You did contact tracing.
We did. And one of the young fellas was brilliant. He, you know, bring a little portable barbecue down every once a month and some drinks and stuff like that made it really special.
Oh, so we swapped presents. Yes, I brought limes for everyone. One bloke brews ginger beer and hands out a bottle to everyone.
Oh, I'm going
to
start.
And we hugged each other. Everyone hugged each other. I think because we're all still alive.
Yeah. some hugging there for pity out of for you because you've only won it twice as well in 36 years. With shameful record.
Keep up the good work, mate.
Cheers, guys. All the best.
Triple M.
Triple M breakfast with Marto and Marco.
Margo, Brisbane's Nissan Arena there next to QE2 Stadium.
Where the Queensland Firebirds play.
Home of the Firebirds. The Bullets sometimes play there
as well.
Yeah. Ever seen anyone punched there?
Netball mums. A few scratches, no punches.
A couple of elbows in the semicircle sometimes.
Not without someone immediately yelling out contact. Right.
There's some good body contact. In the circles.
What are you talking?
Thursday, September 15th, there'll be plenty of contact
Mark it down in my calendar.
It's the night of the Gallon fight.
This is the Queensland New South Wales fight, isn't it?
Well, no.
Is this Hodjo?
Harry Garth's side is, there's going to be proper boxing, but Gallon's going to be there. He's going to be fighting, yes, Justin Hodges. But not just Justin Hodges, it comes out that he's fighting. First time I've seen it. I've never seen one man, unless it's at a pub, one man fight two others.
He's fighting two people.
Ben Hannett hand up. What is wrong with Ben Hannett?
Ben Hannett and Justin Hodges v Paul Gallant.
Not at the same time. And if you want details.
I was going to say, is this like a tag in WWE situation?
They don't hit him with a chair. All right. So they had their little promo day where all the media came along and Gallant didn't know what was going on. And that George Rhodes, who used to play second row, front row for the Manly, George Rhodes promotion.
Manager now? Yeah, promo.
He's boxing promoter.
Yeah, okay.
Which just screams, look out, danger. As soon as you hear boxing promoter, it's almost like colourful racing identity.
Because remember we had both Ben Hannett and Justin Hodges on the show, and they both said they wanted to fight Gallant.
And what were they fighting for? They were fighting each other. Whoever won was supposed to fight Gallant.
They fought together to then fight Gallant. How do they now both of them want to fight for Gallant?
Somehow Ben Hannett is hanging on there like a piece
because Hodjo beat Hannett.
Yes, that's the end of you, Hannett.
See you later. How's he got himself back in there?
He needs money. I know Ben Hannett very well. He's got eight children.
He needs money, of course.
And he needs the cash.
And he doesn't want to be at home very often.
I'm happy to say this because this will get back to him. Hello, Benny. We all know you need money, mate.
Is this the future of boxing, though, that one bloke takes on? Like, Ben Hannett's going sloppy seconds.
How's it
going
to work, Marto?
Well, apparently, here we go. The format is yet to be finalised because George Rhodes hasn't thought of it.
He just made it up.
It is understand how. Hannett will fight Gallant first. Before Hodges enters the ring second.
Is it just a bit of a warm-up for him?
After a one-hour break, what I'd like to see is Gallant punch Ben Hannett and him lying on the thing, and then all of a sudden, we want more. Hodges comes in.
Straight away.
And Hannett just lies
and
step over him while the fight continues.
Fight around him.
Gallant will belt Hodges and he's down and it'll just be like...
And then
like,
can Ben Hannett jump up and join in?
Nate Miles comes from nowhere and gets his revenge. And then if he knocks Gallant down, then somebody... We'll get Corey Parker in there.
He needs the cash too.
There'll be 27 former NRL players piled up, unconscious.
Here comes Greg Inglis.
And the mighty Gallant will just
tell me you wouldn't go to see that.
Israel Folau jumping over the rope with a chair in his hand. See you later.
God. So tag team.
You mean across, don't you?
Do you remember the wrestling tag team? WWE.
They tag team in.
That's what they should have. Gallant and, I don't know, Sturlo or someone there.
Clemmer. Could you imagine?
He's got not much on.
Jared Weir Hargraves. Get him in there.
Here comes
the mighty big men of the New South Wales Blues.
Here's Fatty Vaughton. he's tripped over the rope.
All right, let's get serious. On the undercard, so that's the former players. On the undercard is anyone who hasn't got a club next year, like the contender. You just fight like Jake Durbin. Hasn't got a club, and there'll be someone from Parramatta hasn't got a club, whoever wins that gets a club because they've got still got fight in them.
It's like the NRL draft.
Oh, yes. That's so true.
It'd be a great idea.
See you there.
For Landies, get onto it.
What a family night out that'll be.
Yeah, it'll be a bit of fun, apart from Ben's
NRL
family.
NRL fight night. Yeah.
The Ben's family would be a bit
we
sad.
We still can't get to the bottom of what Hannon is.
They do love a tag team, the NRL players, don't they?
Don't.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
We're just speaking wonderful words.
Incredible.
The beautiful.
Incredible amount of tributes over the last 48 hours. John Travolta, Elton John, Molly Meldrum, Barbara Streisand, Rod Stewart, Delta Goodrum, Colin Minogue, Jackman, Rebel Wilson. Like, everybody has come out in droves.
OMG.
No one had a bad thing to say about her. I mean, Molly Meldrum, tonight the stars will shine a little brighter and I'm heartbroken. Livy, as I called her, was one of those rare people who had a profound
idiot. Molly's
effect,
a drunken idiot.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
On the world and the people in it. Her purity was her real.
Didn't you say you're going to play Richard Wilkins? Don't play all this stuff. Let other media organisations do this wall to wall.
Her passion for life was unwavering.
Yeah. No, hold on. She was obviously
Grammys.
She was obviously a wonderful person.
Grammy Award winning recording artist, an extraordinary wife, mother, humanitarian.
Okay. Number ones in America, Marto. You cannot deny that. The number of number one singles on a US Billboard chart.
I didn't actually realize how big she was in the States.
Stop.
How many songs did Olivia write?
None.
Or did she? She was an actress who followed other people's words, and then she didn't write any of those songs. No, she just sang that. Oh, can you apply Olivia syrup to these words I've written?
Yes, of course.
So that's nonsense. Someone like Paul Kelly, he's real. Okay,
he writes the songs,
he believes them deep in his heart. She did the syrup, but then the cancer thing was the biggest thing that I could see. The reason I'm upset, Tuesday night, they played Greece. I have never seen such a confected hour and 45 or so of nonsense in all my life. Just because 14-year-old girls throughout in the last 30 years have gone, oh, that's what love is. It's the love manual for 14-year-old girls. Doesn't mean I had to sit there. And
how
watch
good,
this
Margot? Marto, when they flew away in the car at the end up into the clouds, and that made complete sense.
Do you know what day that was? That was the last day of school. So that was their schoolies week. They went to a carnival and then they got in a car and flew into the clouds. And
you know what it highlighted?
That's her highlight of her career.
In hindsight, watching it back, you know, when I was
did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. You know, when I was a young girl, you don't know any different. You don't know any better.
No, that's right.
And
that's
you
love.
Think that that's what 17-year-old people, when you're 10, look like. Mm. And then you watch it back again and you're like, that person is not 17.
How old was Olivia?
She was 29.
When she filmed a movie about high school love.
17-year-old, yes.
Okay, there was a bloke in that movie who was dead set. He was supposed to be in grade 12.
He was 45.
Well, look, Marto, what you're denying
this
here
is
95% of people on the burner phone are saying Grease is a classic. And we haven't even got to her Christmas album with John Farnham.
Oh, rubbish.
You know the other
thing. Hold on, show me that burner phone. That's our producers being idiots.
Yeah, I mean, Snowy
do you know
has
what I did also notice?
Calls,
that if you want somebody to like you, like Sandy did Danny, you have to change everything about you. You have to look different. You have to wear different clothes. You have to smoke. You have to
be cool, tight
jeans. Like, she had to change everything about her for Danny to actually, in the end, take real notice of her.
Good lesson. The lesson is you're probably an idiot.
Don't be yourself. Be someone else if you want to get a guy. It's what I learned.
Marto and Margot. Triple M Breakfast.
We spoke to Alison this morning. She won our last person standing quiz. Mm-hmm. What did she win? Carton of beer. What did she say she was going to do with it?
Give it to bribe somebody.
Use it to bribe somebody. Nice. You ready to throw a slab of beer on the passenger seat with you today?
Without a doubt. I know someone I can donate it to as a bit of bribery.
Mm. Beer economy.
Beer economy.
She didn't go any further what she was going to use it for bribery, but I see what you're saying about on the screen. Dan from Salisbury had a new Neighbour movie in and asked to borrow my whippersnipper. Am I wrong for thinking that when he returned it, he should have given me a six-pack? That's not even bribery. That's just the payment.
Yes, that's beer an expectation. Economy. Beer economy. And
I received thanks, mate.
Yeah.
It's not on.
No.
Well, it's happening all over the place. Shit, it's not just happening here with us and our listeners, Marto. It's happening on the block.
What do you mean?
The tiler was like, no, we need to get the tiling down. Last night I called the underfloor heating guys and just said, what can I do for you, like, so you can come earlier? And he said, you can buy me some cruises.
Jenny is good. She bribed them.
Yeah, she bribed them with the Slubber Cruisers to come first at 6 o'clock. Good. She's good.
Guava?
Our mate Jenny that we spoke to last week, the Gold Coast couple, Dylan and Jenny, she's the apprentice chippy.
Oh, is that who that was there?
She was bribing her Tyler.
Yeah, she understands beer economy, how things you make the wheels, the grease, the wheels of industry.
She bribed the Tyler with a carton of watermelon vodka cruisers.
Watermelon, not guava.
Now, in cruisers, they come in 4-packs. Do you get 6 4-packs? Do you get 24 of them?
I think a carton of cruisers is like $80, $90.
So were these under floor heating people?
Well, they wanted
they
to go-
17-year, 18-year-old girls?
Girls. What they were. But I remember I've told you the story. 133353. If you've got a story where you've used alcohol as payment for something, bit of beer economy, beer payment. Mm. We bought our very first caravan, Corey and I, Slab of Bundy rum cans.
Is that right?
That's what he said he'd take for it.
Gee, that's good.
It was in pretty bad condition. It was in the front yard of his brother's place. There was grass all grown up around it, and he was using it as a storage facility. And so it looked pretty shocking, but Corey could see past all of that, and he saw that the body was straight. There was no dings or bangs in it. The bones were good. The foundations were good. And when, you know, we were prepared to pay maybe $1,000 for it, perhaps, old mate said, it's probably in worse condition than I thought. Maybe just a slab of, you know, cans.
And get rid of it for
Putney rum cans and get rid of it.
Yeah. I sold my old Portaloo, you know, I used to own a Portaloo, right, to another builder for a big bottle of rum, like the 1125 mil. Mm. And it was worth every cent to get
that. Portaloo was a nightmare.
A complete nightmare, because kids used to pee in it and poo in it all the time. So that's what we're looking for.
You know,
What's the going rate? For alcohol, for jobs done, or goods or services?
Yeah, what are you willing to take, you know, in lieu of a service provided?
Perhaps? Don't say in lieu, that'll trigger him. Don't mention the lieu.
No, it's gone now.
Why don't you tell us about your recent trades and we can ascertain the market rate from those. What's the market like right now? We know about inflation.
Like how much is a trailer? How much for a trailer? How much to actually get the bloke as well with his ute to help you move house? That sort of thing.
Dino from Beaudesert, he sent in 4 bottles of home brew because he said, I love listening to you guys in the mornings. I'm so grateful. Here's 4 bottles of home brew.
One of those bottles almost killed our producer.
Would have exploded on route.
Can we just go this technically? Like, we're looking for goods and services and what you should pay for them. If you were an accountant and you wanted to go through it, tradies per hour. There's no one works for below $50 an hour. So let's say if you get a tradie to put your letterbox in, okay? Mm. It takes you an hour. You've got to buy him a carton of beer. Okay, is that correct?
Yeah. When do you change over from beer into spirit? You know, like carton of beer into a nice bottle of scotch.
When you smell them and they smell more like rum or scotch. Bourbon or something. But the minimum wage in Australia is just over $20 an hour. So if they that's the minimum. Mm. Is that the lowest? A 6-pack is the minimum, which is $20.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you go to the carton and then you go to a nice spirit.
Yes.
When it says limited edition on the spirit, would that be it?
But that's for services. What about old mate who said, I just loaned him my whippersnipper? That's different again, isn't it? Because you're physically not doing anything. It's not laborious. Mm. 133353. Let's find out.
It's a goods and services tax on the beer economy.
Is it fringe benefits as well? You know, if you're bringing in all this piss for working.
Belinda from Cooper's Plains. We're trying to work out what the beer economy is, alcohol tax for services. What is it? What was it for you?
Well, mine's not a service. Mine is an item. And I'm just wondering, what would you pay for a car?
Well, a car, or a ute, I guess, is what a lot of people borrow utes off people.
How long?
You've got to fill the tank.
Yeah, how long, Belinda, though?
You've got to fill the tank up and then on top of that pay beer.
But how long are they using the car for and what for?
Well, I actually was given a car.
Someone just gave you a car.
Oh, no, I thought you meant a getaway job, like just can we borrow Robin?
Knock over a 7-Eleven. Yeah. Belinda, so what someone got, you now own this car, they gave it to you.
Well, this is back in the UK, and it was a while back now, but it was a Seat Ibiza special. It was a little bomb. You couldn't overfill it. The fuel tank had a hole in it.
But
I got a full car, you know, transfer of ownership for some beer.
Sounds like they gave it to you just to get it off their hands.
Yeah, that's another.
Sounds like you ended up with the raw end of the deal.
So did you have to give them some beer?
I gave them some beer and a Thai meal. So there was a Thai meal involved.
A Thai meal? Wink, wink, Belinda.
This is the most English thing I've ever heard. A Thai meal and a case of beer for a shit car.
Did you prepare the Thai meal or was it takeaway?
No, it was taken away from his favourite place.
It's expensive, Ty. Let's just be honest here.
Oh, we've got a sumptuous Chinese meal.
You know your judo well.
Thank you, Belinda.
Sounds like Belinda got the raw end of the deal. He got Ty and she got a dud car. And
2 weeks later, it didn't work and she had to get rid of the bloody thing.
Dad from Wellington Point, 13353. Good morning.
Good morning there.
Yeah, hey, mate. Beer economy, we're talking. Goods rendered for services given.
Yeah, I coached rugby at the Redland Muddies for many years, junior rugby.
Good stuff.
And, one of the dads at the end of the year just handed me a bottle of scotch. Turned out to be $1,000 worth.
Holy crap.
That's what's better than a jumper.
Did you not drink that? That's, like, expensive.
Here's the problem. There's a problem. I don't drink scotch, but my ex-wife did, and she mixed it with Coke.
Oh no.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Marco.
Good morning. Doing it for the Toyota Forklift Advantage this morning. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au and get the Toyota Forklift Advantage, Marto.
Hey, listen, it happened Tuesday afternoon after we'd finished on Tuesday. It didn't work yesterday, so we better cover off on it. But the National Rugby League on Tuesday issued Canberra Raiders head coach Ricky Stewart with a breach notice after those comments last weekend directed towards Jamin Salmon, who'll be in action tonight for the...
weak gutted dog.
That's the once... The breach notice, listen to this. So this is what Ricky got, $25,000 fine, and in brackets, has to be paid by him, so the club can't go, here's some money from a couple of pokies.
Not by a third party ambassador.
Coins. No. And this is the important one, a suspension from all club activities commencing 4 p.m. Tuesday the 9th of August and finishing 4 p.m. Tuesday the 16th of August. So one whole week.
This is one weekend.
The period of suspension, this is from the NRL, the period of suspension prohibits Stewart from performing any duties as head coach of the Raiders, including attendance at team or individual training, or coaching sessions, or the Raiders facilities. Can't even go in there.
Rugby league.
If he wanted to do a workout, or if he was driving past and wanted a wee.
It's only a week, though. Is that enough?
He cannot provide instruction or direction to the team, individual players, or club officials during the period of suspension.
Who monitors that, though?
Exactly. Who knows? Do you know? I don't know if you know the Raiders setup, but down the road from Bruce Stadium is where the Raiders train. There's no fence around there. So he could be driving past in his car.
Just yell out.
Toot the horn and go, listen, plan X on the second tackle.
Defense.
Go right down the short side. I'll keep going. And, like, is the NRL going to police that?
No. Nah.
A little angry Ricky.
Triple M.